feel led of the Lord to go back to studying in Paul's epistles to the Thessalonians. And we have finished 1 Thessalonians, so we're going to start this morning in 2 Thessalonians. This is a follow-up letter that Paul is writing to this congregation of beloved brethren who are elect. And I want to read 4 verses this morning. We won't spend time in all 4 verses, but beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul is going to deal with the struggles of believers who have a desire to enter the kingdom. Paul told those in his ministry that if you expect to enter the kingdom, you can expect tribulation. You can expect difficulties. And so Paul is going to deal with that. And I read that because Paul encourages them to have grace and peace. There's nothing like having peace in time of tribulation. There's nothing like having the peace of God when you're in trouble, particularly when it's not your fault. If you're in trouble because of your behavior, you don't need any peace. There's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. So you might as well forget having peace if you're misbehaving. But Paul is commending this church. In 2 Thessalonians 1, in verse 1, it says that he's writing to them, he's writing unto the church, and he is writing to the brethren that he was writing to in the first epistle. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, it says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul knew that they were elect. Paul knew that they were called out ones. And they are brethren and they are beloved. The word brethren and the word beloved are cases of address. So he is addressing the beloved, the brethren, and the elect of God. And then he brings to their attention that he's writing to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that helps us to have peace is to know that God is our Father and Jesus Christ is our Lord. The word Lord is also translated Master. Sometimes we do not get the significance of the word Lord because of the Lords of England. You know, they got a whole bunch of powdered wigs and they are sort of stuffy. No reflection on their government, but you know, this has to do with masters. They own. Masters own the slave, like Joseph. Potiphar was known as Joseph's master. He owned Joseph. He fed Joseph. He clothed Joseph. He told Joseph what to do. And Joseph did not go on strike. You know, we need to appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our Master. Why? Because we have been bought with a price. And as soon as you realize the fact that we are bought with a price and that we're not our own, this will give you or add to your peace. He's in charge. He is not letting anything happen to you that He is not fully aware of. And you can rest in it. Like this morning, 2:00, someone called and he wouldn't hang up. 2:00. I didn't answer the phone. Then I finally got back to sleep, and at 2:35 the phone rang again. So I thought, well, maybe there's somebody that's hurting. I need to go answer the phone. So I got up and answered the phone. And the guy apologized. He says, I was looking for an answering machine to tell me when the services are. Well, that's happened more than once. And they're usually calling to find out when the services are at Grace Church of Edina. So, I don't know when they are, and we have finally written down the phone number at Grace Church of Edina so that we can give it out, because the operators are always giving our phone number out for the Grace Church of Edina. So this fella, I couldn't go back to sleep, so I decided I'd just get up and see who it was. And it was somebody at Sheraton Hotel. And then, anyway, he called back this morning. He says, I was the guy who woke you up in the middle of the morning. And he says, when did you say your services were? Anyway, the Lord knows when you're going to be awake and how long you're going to stay awake. And He's going to know that you're going to be tired when you go to work the next morning. But you know what? He can refresh you anyway. I know that I didn't get back to sleep till after 4:00. And my alarm goes off at 5:30. I moved it up a little bit so I didn't have to get up quite so early. But usually sometimes when you go back to sleep, you just get up and you just feel so bad. Well, this morning that didn't happen, and I was thankful for the Lord for that. So, the Lord knows, and even though you may be inconvenienced in your living, in your life, you need to trust Him that it's okay, and He knew about it, and you don't have to worry about it at all. I told the Lord when I was laying there in the bed, not able to go to sleep, I said, Lord, I'm doing my part. I'm laying down in the bed and I've got my eyes closed. Now it's your turn to do your part. I did. I told Him. I said, I want you to do your part. I need to go to sleep. He said, just a minute. Just a minute. And so that gave me some time to pray for you and for others too. So you just spend some time in prayer and things are better. But you will come, the quicker you learn that the Lord is master of you, the quicker you will have peace in your life. Also, the fact that God is our Father. The word God is used in many ways. It has to do with deity, but it also has to do with being a judge. God will be our judge. I was reading in Malachi 1:6. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord. We need to learn the fear of the Lord. We need to honor the Father. We need to respect Him and allow Him to operate in our life as He pleases. And we need to submit to our Master with fear. Not being afraid, but with respect, with awe. You're not going to get away with anything, and you don't want to get away with anything with Him. You want to please Him, and you respect Him. And so the nation of Israel wasn't doing that. In 1 Peter 1:17, it says, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The fear of the Lord is what it takes for us to depart from evil. If you don't have any fear of the Lord, then you are on the border of becoming lawless. And I do believe that lawlessness is one of the greatest sins in the Word of God. Immoral sins is also high. It's the sins that the children of Israel stoned people to death for. Those are really tough or bad sins, okay? So, we need to fear the Lord. Also, I read to you in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians about persecution and tribulation. Knowing that that is our portion, we need to give our Father the due honor that He deserves, and we need to fear the Lord, and the persecution won't be as hard to bear. That's the point that I want to get. It has to do with attitude. Okay? If we think that we are getting ripped off or whatever by our Master or our Lord, you're really going to have a hard time in your walk with the Lord. You just simply have to trust Him. That's all. He knows when you are sick, and He knows when you're well, and He knows when the sickness is coming, and He knows when it's going to go away, and He knows when He's going to take you. And the quicker we learn to trust Him, regardless of our circumstances, the better it's going to be. He tells them, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, where does our grace and peace come from? It comes from the Father whom we are to honor, and it comes from our Master. They're in the business of supplying what we need. To be able to endure persecution and tribulation and trial and testing in our life, you got to have grace first. Then peace comes after that. Now, what is the grace of God? Well, I don't like to use man-made illustrations. Unmerited favor. Now, that's not even a biblical interpretation of that. The biblical interpretation, I believe, is 2 Corinthians 12:9, where it says, where the Holy Spirit, or not the Holy Spirit, the Lord is saying unto Paul, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. What is the grace of God? It's the power of Christ. That's what the grace of God is. It's power. It's power to endure. It's power to bear the tribulations. It's power to bear rejection, struggles, difficulties. And we need the power of Christ. Notice that it's in weakness that it is actually performs better. The power of Christ on someone who is confidently in control, there's a conflict there. If you're in charge, how can the, that's just like somebody wants to push a car and you have it in reverse. It doesn't work. Something's going to cancel out. So for the power of Christ to work in our life, we have to acknowledge that we are weak. I just think about the fact that the Lord has hidden in us a treasure. And that treasure is hidden in what kind of a vessel? A bulletproof vessel? No. An earthen vessel. If you dropped it, it would shatter. And so we need to acknowledge our weakness and to be able to confess that without Thee, Lord, I can do nothing. Helplessness. Romans 5:2 tells us how to get the grace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do you get grace? By faith. You just simply, Hebrews 4:16. You go to the throne of grace. You go to the source of grace. Grace is something you can't taste or touch or feel. It just simply allows you to endure. And so you go to the throne of grace. First of all, you want to obtain mercy. You want forgiveness and cleansing from sin. And then you can find grace to help in time of need. Another thing too, in Romans chapter 5, verse 21, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that grace reigns only when we are in right relationship with Him. You can't be living in sin and expect grace to come. You can't have the power of Christ to serve the devil, because that's what grace is for. Grace is for service as well. And God's not going to give you His strength and His power for you to serve the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we have all been very talented in those three areas in the past. And it's through right living, righteousness. Now this, a lot of people want to throw in, this is imputed righteousness. No, beloved, it's not. This is right living that leads to life for the age. You've got to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord if you expect His grace. And in Hebrews 12:28, it says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We want to enter the kingdom, and the Lord's not going to change the rules to enter. Those rules are unalterable. They are established. They are fast. And for us to enter the kingdom, we have to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's what it says in the latter part of that verse. And the way we do that is by having His grace. Having grace. Now, Paul and Barnabas encouraged the people to persuade them to continue in the grace of God. That just simply means that you can stop having grace. You can stop having it. Unmerited favor, to me, if you define it that way, you don't have to go to the throne of grace, you don't have to live right, you don't have to have faith to get it. But beloved, that's not what it takes. And so, therefore, we need to continue in the grace of God that we might please Him. Now, there is a way you can know you have grace. You want to know how you know when grace is operative in your heart and life? Philippians 4:7. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What comes after grace? Peace. If you don't have peace, you are not operating in the power of Christ. You're operating in the flesh. That's as simple as it can be. If you don't have peace, grace isn't working. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't be concerned about things, okay? Concerned about it. But you also have to have the attitude that God's in charge and He'll take care of it. And actually, the word here says, let the peace of God... I'm skipped over a verse here. I was quoting Colossians 3:15 and I'm in Philippians 4:7. I'm sorry. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's when we let our requests be made known unto God, okay? And so when we let our requests be made known unto God, in other words, the things that concern us, because God does not want us to be anxious for anything. So therefore, He invites us to tell us what concerns us. And He says, I'll give you peace. That'll help you in that. And Colossians 3:15 tells us, let the peace of God umpire in your heart. The word rule, it means to umpire.
That is to call those, to call people out, or to call people safe, or, you know, to rule, to allow you to know which way to go or which way not to go. The point again is this. When you have peace, you know grace is operating. If you're anxious about everything, grace isn't working. And you know what you need to do right then? You need to go to the throne of grace, confess it unto the Lord that I'm anxious about stuff that I shouldn't be anxious about, because I know that you're in charge and you're my master and you're allowing this to happen to me. And I just turn it over to you. And if it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, you just tell the Lord, I'm laying down and my eyes are closed. It's your turn. You know, you just need to do that. Reminds me of Rick Anderson. We are always playing tomfoolery on the phone. And when I call him up, he says, your turn. Anyway, it's the Lord's turn. It's His turn to help you. So, now, 2 Peter tells us, wherefore, beloved, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Isn't that interesting? Peace. That covers grace, doesn't it? You can't have peace without grace. And to think about being without spot and blameless, that means that your sins need to be confessed. But peace comes first. When the Lord comes, He wants to find you at peace. He wants to find you trusting Him and allowing Him to work in your heart and life. Now, I'm not sure that we'll get all that we want to cover this morning covered. And I think what I'm going to do is pick up here when we left off. But one thing I want to give to you this morning is this. We come to church on Sunday morning. When you open your Bible to read the Word of God, what are you doing that for? Do you want a star by your name? Is that all you want? Or a check mark by the verse that you're supposed to read today? Is that what you're reading your Bible for? Is that what you're coming to the Word, coming to the, to have fellowship around the Word for? The Lord wants us to read His Word and to come and hear His Word taught so that we can do what? Change. What good is it if it doesn't affect your life? If it doesn't change you? You walk in and you look and you got egg on your mouth and you walk out with egg on your mouth. What good is it to have the mirror? You ladies would really be in trouble with no mirror. And I'm like, if you're using a razor, you'd have some jagged sideburns. But anyway, the point is this. The Lord wants us to change. Did you know that that's what happened to those at Thessalonica? They changed. And I want to encourage you to change. When you're reading the Word of God, you read it so that you can change your life in a way that is found well-pleasing to Him. That's important. That is paramount. Why do you think Paul sent Timotheus down to Thessalonica? For fellowship? No. He wanted to find out what they were doing and find out what they needed to make their life better and more pleasing to the Lord. And if you're resisting change, you're resisting your Heavenly Father that you're to honor. If you're resisting change, you're telling Jesus that you're no longer my master. I'm in charge. And you can't get away with that very long. The Lord is long-suffering. But the Lord does want us to change. And He doesn't. And it's not that we change perfectly, because the Lord allows us to slip. Okay? He does. But the Lord knows, we know what to do when we do slip. I learned that in the Bible. You know what? I do what it says. I go and confess it and get it taken care of. And begin again to walk with the Lord in His Word. May the Lord help us to honor our Heavenly Father, who is going to be our judge, and to honor our Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ, with fear. That is, obedience, doing what He wants us to do. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer together? With our heads bowed and our hearts open to the Lord, we all have difficulties and struggles in our life and our walk with the Lord. And I just encourage you to deal with those areas in your heart and life that are struggling against what God is allowing to happen in your life. I too need to deal with that myself, and I just encourage you right now before the Lord to confess it unto Him and to get the grace that you need to have the peace that you want so you can walk confidently with Him. Father, we just ask You to bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. Help us to grow in that grace that provides that peace that passes all understanding. Forgive us when we're anxious for everything and we fail to bring it before You in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and we continue in stress. Help us, Lord, to trust You and to honor You as our Heavenly Father and as our Master, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to walk with You this week in Your grace. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.